It's the Brad Field Weather Podcast, underwritten by McCallan Construction. McCallan Construction, from the first dig to the last nail. And McCallan Construction does snow removal. I am Dan Lovallo. He is meteorologist Brad Field. We are putting this podcast together on February the 8th. And Brad, right now, it's beginning to feel a lot like spring. What's going on?
Dan, it is a beautiful, beautiful morning. I'm looking out at the blue sky. I'm looking out at the north side of my home, and there's still some frost on the ground. But as you say, I mean, we are definitely feeling like spring out there. And just wait. I mean, by the time Saturday rolls around, February 10th, I think a lot of people are going to have the urge to mow their lawn. I mean, it's going to seem like that kind of day. Temperatures are going to be up into the 50s. It's just going to seem like it's two months hence on the calendar, more like April 10th than February 10th. But that's indeed what we're looking at. And it's indeed what has transpired this first week of February, Dan. The weather data is in from February 1st through the 7th. And during the day, we are averaging in the low 40s. We should be averaging in the mid 30s. So we're about 7 degrees above average there. And at night, it's even a wider discrepancy. We should be averaging in the upper teens on a nightly basis. We are averaging in the upper 20s. So it has definitely been a mild first week of February. It's going to get even milder before it gets colder, and it's been very, very dry, hardly any precipitation at all the first week of February, certainly no snow. But that could be changing, Dan, as we head toward the early and middle part of the upcoming week. Just before we get to that, snowfall season to date at Bradley, 15.5 inches by February 8th, the climatological average is 30.9, so we're about 50% in terms of snowfall. Normal high temperature today on February 8th is 37. We are starting to get milder as the days get longer now, and the average low temperature, Dan, is 19.
You know what I find fascinating, Brad, and we've had a couple of storms in my neck of the woods anyway, where there's been a substantial amount of snow, but it melts before we get any other snowstorm. I mean, right now we have very little snow cover here in Northwest Connecticut.
Yeah, and that's the key. The key is the mild temperature, Dan. I mean, in a normal winter, say you have a foot of snow on the ground on, I don't know, February 1st. And the average temperature every day should be, say, up in Torrington, 34 or so. You would not melt much snow. You'd get a slight amount of melting, and then it would freeze into, you know, an icy surface on the snow at night and whatever. And it would be very hard to melt that snow. But we are going up, instead of up to 34, we're going up to 42. The temperatures are some 7 or 8 degrees above average for the first week of February. So you are getting way more melting by day than you would in a normal February day. So the snow just can't really accrue. You get an inch or two of snow, and a few days, day or two later, it's gone. But in a normal winter, you get an inch or two of snow. It will stay because the temperatures are cold enough. But like you say, we're not able to accrue the snow depth on the ground.
Well, that leads us to our On the Weather Map segment, and we're hearing these rumblings about a potential storm next week. At this stage, on February the 8th, what can you tell us?
Well, the potential is absolutely there. There are a couple of different ways this could play out. We are looking at energy in the northern stream of the jet stream, and we're looking at energy in the southern part of the jet stream, Dan. And that southern energy is in association with the mudslides and the landslides out around Los Angeles, where they had about years worth of rain in only a couple of days. So, I mean, just devastation. It's devastating to see what flooding can do. I mean, a lot of times people think in a hurricane or whatever, the wind damage or whatever, most of the damage is from the movement of water, the surging of water and so forth. So, I mean, there's devastation there. Now, getting back to us, if the northern part of the jet stream links with the southern part of the jet stream, it will tend to pull the moisture up, and it will tend to pull the moisture up the coast and into colder air. So if that does indeed happen, we would be looking at a snowstorm in the Monday night and Tuesday time frame. But if the pieces stay separate and distinct, and they don't link up, say the cold air gets here first, or it could force the storm out to sea to our south, or if the cold air doesn't get here in time, the moisture could come along and be in the form of rain. So there's all these different scenarios that can play out. But right now, there is plenty of potential flying around on the weather map.
Brad, I'm looking at the weather map, and I noticed a high pressure system dominant over the southeast quadrant of the country, and it seems to be pumping warm air up our region. Am I looking at that map correctly?
Correct, Dan. The high is strung out from the northern tip of Maine all the way down into the Carolinas. And so it's sort of like right on our longitude today. So today is going to be sunny, hardly a puff of wind. We're right under the ridge, and temperatures will move up into the 40s. So a very pleasant day. But what's going to happen tomorrow, Dan, is that ridge shifts just slightly to the east and into the western Atlantic. The flow around high pressure is going to be a southerly flow. So it's going to get warmer tomorrow. We could see some moisture in the atmosphere in the form of, let's say, varying amounts of cloud cover tomorrow. And then by Saturday, what we'll have is the warm air established over us here in New England, and a cold front approaching from the eastern Great Lakes. So what is going to transpire then, with the high off the coast, a southerly flow, in advance of the cold front, a southerly flow. So a warm flow coming in on Saturday, temperatures moving way up into the 50s. Right along the sound, it will be colder because the water temperature of the sound is obviously colder than the 50s. So the southerly wind will be blowing off the sound. So we'll say temperatures will be in the maybe 40 to 45 range there. But you get up toward Bradley and up toward the Massachusetts border, the temperature could be flirting with a 60-degree mark on Saturday afternoon. So that's exactly what I was talking to you about, Dan. People are going to say, you know, I should put out the deck furniture and I should, you know, hook up the hose and start mowing the lawn. But you're going to be a couple of months premature, as you'll see when we keep going forward here. Be on the weather map on Sunday. We'll have a cold front number one will be offshore, and the Arctic cold will be in the Great Lakes behind a secondary cold front. Now, by Monday, we're going to be looking at a low pressure area into western Tennessee. And then by Tuesday morning at 7 in the morning, that low pressure area should be abreast of Atlantic City, New Jersey. Now, if the storm tracks like that, and we've got enough cold air involved, we could be looking at a snowstorm coming up on Tuesday.
So it's interesting then, because I'm guessing, and perhaps you can illuminate this for us, that there are differences in the various weather models as to what might happen. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Dan, if anybody comes on a broadcast today and tries to give any kind of certainty to what's happening on Tuesday, that is incorrect. I would just say that there's tons of potential, but whether or not that potential is realized is the big question. For example, the European computer model right now, by Wednesday at 7 a.m., so in other words, The storm will have concluded. The Tuesday storm will have concluded and be gone. The European model shows nothing in southwestern Connecticut, maybe an inch or two in southeastern Connecticut, and then 2 to 5 inches across northern Connecticut. Where is the jackpot, you ask, with the European solution? Well, right now, the European solution has 6 inches plus for northeast Pennsylvania, kind of shifting off to the northeast from there into Albany and the Berkshires. So that is where the jackpot would be. Also, southern Vermont and southern New Hampshire for our ski friends should do well if the European computer model verifies. Now, the GFS computer model is much further to the south. It's got the cold air becoming more assertive across the northeastern part of the United States. And right now, if you were to sort of decode what the GFS is putting out, you would say 3 to 5 inches of snow across northern Connecticut, with 5 to 10 inches of snow across southern Connecticut, Dan. So in the GFS solution, the farther south you go, the more snow you get. And the jackpot there over a foot would be northern New Jersey and out through Long Island. So there are various solutions here, sort of back and forth on their solution as to what's going to happen Monday night and Tuesday.
So we've got all this, the spaghetti model effect, if you will, but we also have what is known as the windshield wiper effect. Talk about that.
Well, the windshield wiper effect, Dan, is simply what I was saying. When you're looking at the northern flow of the jet stream, the northern stream and the southern stream, and exactly how they come together. So, as I said, if the cold air wins out, in other words, the northern stream is stronger, you would get one solution. If the southern stream is stronger, you would get another solution. If the streams merge and you get what happens to translate toward a closed low pressure system, you get a different solution there. So what I'm saying to you here is that you get a back and forth. You get like, we're going to get a big storm on Monday night and Tuesday. And then 6 hours later, the computer models come out, oh, whoops, the cold air is going to be dominant and we're going to miss that storm on Monday night and Tuesday. And then 6 hours later, oh, well, wait a second. The streams appear to be merging. It looks like a major snowstorm on Monday night and Tuesday. And then 6 hours later, whoops, it looks like the southern stream is going to be more dominant. So it goes back and forth, back and forth. And let me just illustrate this with over the last 24 hours, Dan, of the 6 hour updates from the GFS. Okay, at 7 a.m. yesterday, in other words, Wednesday, the GFS was touting the potential of 15 inches of snow at Bradley. By 1 p.m. yesterday, Wednesday, the 7th, the GFS was touting 17 inches of snow at Bradley. Now, by 7 p.m. last night, the GFS was coming in with this more southern solution. In other words, the northern flow would dominate and push this more to the south. 4 inches of snow for Bradley. And now at 1 a.m. this morning, the GFS is only predicting a coating of snow for Bradley. Now, do I buy that? No, because it's been changing. It's been going back and forth, back and forth. But the current GFS has the heavy snow stripe from West Virginia through southern Pennsylvania into central and southern New Jersey. But again, as recently as yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, it had the heavy snow stripe from northeast Pennsylvania up to Albany, across interior Connecticut, central and western Massachusetts, with 1 foot to 1.5 feet of snow accumulation. So it's that that is, I guess, the best way to describe the windshield wiper effect. We're getting a big storm. We're missing a big storm. We're getting a big storm. We're missing a big storm. So if you're hearing all of this confusion on television or whatever, or wherever you get your weather, you know, all of a sudden you're looking on your weather app on your phone and it's got a gigantic snowflake on Tuesday. And then 6 hours later, the snowflake is gone and it just has a cloud there. Is what happened to the snow? Well, this is what's happening. These apps are all tied into this, to the exact computer model and what's happening. So if the computer model from this morning is put on your phone app right now, it would just have a cloud on Tuesday, because at the very most, according to the latest model, we would get a coating of snow at the most. But yesterday, just yesterday, if you were looking at your phone app, it probably was purporting a blizzard on Tuesday. So that is what, how we describe the windshield wiper effect.
Brad, let's take a look at long range, because I'm reading some reports and seeing some reports online that President's Day could be very interesting around here. What does the long range forecast look like?
Yeah, Dan, very true. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. The model is the model that I use for the real long range is the Canadian model, because it goes out 768 hours. So for you folks that can't do math quickly in your head like me, that's 30 days. So 768 hours out into the future. So that's the 30-day model. They are kind of predicting a rejuvenation of winter, if you will, where you go from not this weekend, certainly. So Saturday is what, the 10th. But once we start getting to about the 12th of February, so next week, starting next week, and then going through the first 10 days or so of the month of March, they definitely have us colder than average in terms of temperature and frequent storm threats. As we stated, Dan, we've got the storm threat on the 13th. We've got the President's Day storm threat, as you stated, and then another storm threat on February 25th, which happens to be a Sunday. Now, are all of these guaranteed? No. Are they guaranteed to be all snow? No. But what I'm saying to you is we're in a pattern that favors colder than average temperatures. So if we're having colder than average temperatures and we're having storms coming along, if you're a betting man or woman, odds increase that we're going to get snow. So then there's the time around February 29th, which is leap year day, and March 1st, which happens to be a Friday. There's another East Coast storm threat that day. The computer model I looked at this morning, the Canadian computer model, took that major, major storm just under us, but it's there. So, you know, we've got to heed the idea that there will be frequent threats. After that thing goes by, they're bringing in the coldest weather of the entire winter season, and it would be in March, Dan, which is highly unusual. You know, we're looking at low temperatures down near zero, maybe on the mornings of March 1st and March 2nd. So it looks like the cold weather will continue through March 10th. And again, the storm threats coming up on the 13th, which is next Tuesday, then coming up on around President's Day, which is Monday the 19th, and then coming up around Sunday the 25th, and then as we head into March, like right around March 1st, which happens to be a Friday. So bottom line, if you're looking at the next month, I would bet on, once we get past this weekend and the spring fever you're going to feel on Saturday, I'm looking at colder than average temperatures, and I'm looking at more storms than you would normally expect. So we could end winter with a bang. I mean, there is potential out there. So we'll have to see how it all plays out.
So again, what you're saying for the potential for storms, obviously next week, President's Day.
I said next week, Tuesday, the 13th. Then I said President's Day, the 19th. Then around the 25th.
Oh, that's
so
right.
we should probably have about three more snow threats or storm threats in the month of February. And then one right around the very beginning of March, March 1st, March 2nd, something like that. And then through the 10th, which is as far as this computer model goes, it looks like it'd be colder than average on the eastern seaboard. Now, what do I mean by that? By the time we get into early March, Dan, the normal daily high temperature is 42. It's up into the low 40s. So because, you know, we get longer days, more direct sun angle and so forth. So if it's 35, it's not bitterly cold, but it's significantly colder than what's average for a particular date. So that's what I'm talking about here. I would not tell you, oh gosh, it's going to be, you know, such bitter cold. It's just going to be colder than it should be on the particular date.
Right. All right. Well, it's all fascinating. It could be a very interesting period. But you had called for this in previous podcasts. You had mentioned about the middle of February on, things would be getting interesting, that we shouldn't be lulled into some weather complacency because the weather was a bit warmer than normal, that we were about to enter into that period. And, well, here we are. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, Brad, on that note, as we wrap up the podcast on this February the 8th, what does our immediate forecast look like?
Oh, it looks beautiful today, Dan. It's going to be sunny out there. Temperatures moving on up into the 40s. Tonight, increasing clouds. You know, certainly not cold for the time of year, 25 to 30. New England residents might be out in just a flannel shirt tonight, and no problem with that if your family or friends are vacationing up here from Florida or something. They will be in their heaviest winter gear. But during the day tomorrow, Dan, it looks like it'll be variably cloudy. Temperatures between 46 and 52 degrees. Saturday spring fever. It's going to be, instead of February 10th, it's going to seem like April 10th. Temperatures will be way up into the 50s, and there could even be an April shower or two coming around. Sunday looks mostly sunny, temperature 46 to 52, so you see certainly still not cold. Monday, partly sunny, but cooling, it'd be between 40 and 45. And Tuesday, the storm threat, snow or rain or both, and temperatures borderline in the 30s. So we will obviously update you if need be on Monday with a storm specific podcast. But in the meantime, Dan, the potential is all over the weather map.
Like you said, we'll keep people posted. And we also invite people to visit bradfieldweather.com. Where, Brad, we run the daily forecast and also have added a new feature, this date in weather history. In fact, believe it or not, it was 11 years ago on this date, the 8th of February, and into the 9th, we got slammed with a snowstorm on February of 2013 that dropped close to 23 inches of snow on Hartford. Can you believe that? You remember that storm, don't you?
Unfortunately, I do. A funny story, and I'll try to keep it brief. I believe if you went back and Googled that day, Dan, you would find it was a Saturday. Okay. And in the month of February in television, it's ratings month. So if you are the chief meteorologist, you should be on duty. I would, in the 37 years I worked on TV, I never took a day off in the month of February, the month of May, and the month of November when I was scheduled to work, because it's ratings, and these are very important to the television station. But we had a family issue. My mom was quite sick and everything, and we had a ski chalet up in New Hampshire. And my coworkers encouraged me to go for the weekend because I was, you know, I was off. I was scheduled to be off. But when you're the chief meteorologist, you're never really off. So, Dan, I went. And I came back from a morning of skiing. And I was walking through the bar that was up in the ski chalet. And I saw, we have a report from Hartford, Connecticut, the greatest snowfall of all time. Like, oh my God. And I'm up on this ski trip in New Hampshire. And I called in, and the meteorologists on duty there, were telling me that, Brad, it was all fluff. It was all like this snow that you could shove, put a foot of it on your shovel, and it didn't weigh anything. It was just like all powder and fluff, and, you know, low impact because it was on the weekend and not many people were driving and stuff. But I felt like I got punched in the gut. Oh my goodness. Great so, story. And I. Unfortunately, one of those nightmarish things that happen when you work on television for 37 years, you know, something's bound to go wrong. And, anyway, we can laugh about it now.
Sure. On that note, again, we invite people to visit bradfieldweather.com. If we're going to get that storm, we'll have a special weather podcast edition, if you will, early next week. And also to you and Sandy, Brad, and our podcast audience, have a terrific weekend.
Thank you, Dan. To you and Susan as well. And enjoy the little flirt with spring on Saturday.
Thanks, Brad. The Brad Field Weather Podcast has been underwritten by McCallan Construction. McCallan Construction, from the first dig to the last nail. And McCallan Construction does snow removal.